Church, you may well know that the president has called for a national day of prayer. And we're going to get into that moment of prayer, or that time of prayer, in a moment or two. I just wanted to let you know as well that we really treasure your prayers for us as a leadership in the church, as we have some tough decisions to make. And the decision that we're wrestling with is this: how do we reintroduce the building into our church life? Not reintroducing the church back into the building. We have been continuing as a church. God's word has been going out. We even believe that this, all that has happened through lockdown, has only served to advance the gospel. That's our conviction. And so we need to just be very wise and patient as to when we reintroduce the building into our church life. And so we would ask for your prayer in that. But for the next couple of minutes, I want to encourage you as families or as individuals, wherever you are, to let's just slow ourselves down a bit. Take a couple of moments and pray for our country. Not every country in the world has a leader with the boldness and the humility to invite and ask for the prayers of his people. And so we are certainly going to take up that challenge. And I will lead us in a prayer to start off, and then you'll hear some other voices of members of our congregation leading in prayer. But where you are as well, join us in your heart. If you hear something that you agree with, say amen and hallelujah, and let's pray together for our country. So let's quieten our hearts as we do that. Our Lord, we do recognize our deep need for your intervention in this time. We thank you, Father God, that we can unite as believers in this way all over the country. Lift up the name of Jesus Christ. And our prayer this morning, our declaration is that we cast all of our hope on you. We ask, Father God, that you would guide us as a nation, guide our leaders to be wise, to do what is best for the people, that we can again flourish and be free. We ask these things in Jesus' name.
We're squinting in a fog, peering through the mist. So right now, we pray for steadfast trust in the Lord, unswerving hope, and unabounded love.
Father, I want to just thank you, Lord, that we have a president who we know is a president appointed by you. Father, help us as a nation to abide by his decisions. Father, help us to, although we might not agree with them all, Father, help us to be obedient. And Father, help us to also thank him for taking cognizance of the people around him, taking decisions from the wise men around him. Thank you, Lord, that we have wise men in this country who are able to do this. Father, thank you for the government officials who are honestly and really trying to do what is right. And Father, we just thank you for that at this time.
2 Chronicles 7, verse 14. I pray that we as a country will humble ourselves and turn towards the Lord, and he will heal our land.
We lift up our nation to you, as we are all suffering in one way or another due to COVID-19. We ask that you give our leaders wisdom as they seek to guide us and make decisions about moving forward. We pray for those who are battling with the virus and for their return to health. Lord, comfort the families who have lost loved ones during this time. We pray for the medical researchers who are searching for a vaccine. We pray for those who have lost their jobs and ask that you undertake for them in their future. We know that you are in control, Lord, and will bring all this to an end in your time. And until then, we pray for your protection.
Dear Father God, we just know that you are the creator of heaven and earth and all the beings on our planet, dear Lord, and we just ask that your hand of protection be on the population, dear Lord, as we head into the crisis that is ahead of us. We just thank you for keeping us safe so far, and we just ask that you also provide guidance for the leaders and the council that makes the rules in this regard, dear Lord.
Heavenly Father, you are sovereign. You are mighty. Please forgive us when we doubt your promises and get fearful. Thank you for loving us in spite of our failings. We pray for our country, Lord, and its president, that you will give him supernatural strength, courage, and wisdom to defeat his enemies who seek not to build up for the country, for the people, but for their own personal gain. Give us hope, Lord.
Thank you, Lord, for all your blessings.
Please bless our nation and keep us all safe. And thanks for our pastor and team for all the blessings upon us all. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Our Father in heaven, we thank you that we can sense you are in control, that we can sense how you've managed our church at this time of crisis during the lockdown. We thank you for guiding our pastors, guiding the congregation and our financial situation. But Lord, while we can see that guidance is being administered to our government, we are concerned that many of the government politicians are more interested in personal power, social control, and other issues which are not beneficial to either the control of the virus or the running of the economy. So Lord, my prayer is that you would work on those issues and that they would be convicted of the error of their ways and that things would start improving in that regard. While we might not have your will as far as the actual passage of the virus and the pandemic is concerned, as that you have already predetermined, but we would like to see a more rational approach to the management of this country. And Lord, we ask this and we leave it in your hands.
Our Heavenly Father, we come to the foot of your throne and place before you our country and her people. We thank you that we can do this in the full knowledge that you will hear our prayers. May your will be done in this time of trouble and strife. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
So Lord, you've heard our prayers, and we, as we continue to worship, Father, surround us with your comfort. Make us again aware that you have heard all of the cries of our hearts. You're not slow to act. So again, we trust you, and all of our hope is in you.
Good day, everyone. Last week, Duncan revealed to us that Jesus has established what it means to be a blessed citizen of his kingdom. And so from this week onwards, we're going to unpack what this means, not just for the disciples of Jesus' time, but most importantly for us today. We're going to answer the question, how are we meant to live as citizens of God's kingdom right now? And so please would you turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. We're going to read together verse 13 to 16. Verse 13 states, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word, and we ask that you would speak to us right now. Help us to apply this text to our everyday lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You'll notice in verse 13 and 14, there are two words that I think we often just read and skip right past it. As we read this text again and again, the two words are, "You are." And it's incredibly important that we just pause here for a brief moment and ensure that we fully grasp what this means for us today. Because I think for most of us, even just on a subconscious level, we live our everyday lives as if our citizenship in God's kingdom is something that we must work towards, or something that we'll attain one day when we've matured in our faith. And I think it's because of this that we struggle to apply some of the teachings that we find in the Sermon on the Mount. Because somehow we've believed the lie that only super Christians, those who are really mature in their faith and extremely close to God, only they are the salt and light of the world. No, friends. This isn't just for the super Christians. This isn't just for the pastors, the elders, and the deacons, and the leaders. These teachings apply to every single person who's given their lives to Jesus Christ, and in so doing, entered into a relationship with God. From the very moment when you first believed, you moved from being a citizen of the kingdom of darkness to a citizen of the kingdom of God. You are a citizen of the kingdom of God. And so there's nothing that you need to do in order to obtain that citizenship except believe in what Jesus has done on your behalf. In fact, Scripture makes it very clear that you and I are unable to obtain our citizenship in heaven and in God's kingdom on our own. And that regardless of how good you are, our deeds fall short of what God has called us to do. And that is why God sent His one and only Son to do what you and I never could. And so, if you and I believe in Jesus and what He has done for us, we've become citizens of the kingdom of God. And as citizens of the kingdom of God, we will have a few distinct characteristics. The first is, you are the salt of the earth. But what does this mean for us today? So let's first look at a few functions of salt in our everyday lives. Salt adds flavor. And if you watch any cooking show on TV, or you just love food in general, you would know exactly when a dish needs a pinch of salt. And you will also know when someone forgot how much salt they added into a dish, and right now you need a massive jug of water. For the experienced cook, you know exactly when and how much salt to add to a dish. And then for those with a little more experience, you know exactly what to do with a dish when too much salt was added in the first place. In that, there's a teaching for us, where most importantly, as citizens of God's kingdom, you and I are meant to add God's flavor to our homes, our workplaces, our communities. But just like when we add salt to cooking, a pinch, a small, godly, kind word to a family member, a colleague, or a friend who's lost a loved one or even lost a job goes a lot further than a bag of salt. A kind, godly word goes a lot further than bombarding someone with messages of encouragement when all they've needed was just a smile. And often this deters us. We're too worried that, am I going to throw a bag of salt at somebody, or do I just have enough, a pinch in this moment? And it kind of makes us stop. Stop reaching out. Stop being the salt. And here's the good news. As we are part of God's kingdom, He has mastered life. He is fully able to take that pinch of salt or that bag that you and I have used, and He's able to use that for His glory. In addition to this, salt in Jesus' time was also used as a preservative. Because in their times, they didn't have fridges to keep their food from rotting. And so it was used as a preservative. And so when Jesus said that the citizens of God's kingdom are the salt of the earth, we can take this to mean that not only should we bring God's flavor to this world, but we should do all that we can to keep this world from rotting completely. And this can be applied in various means. As citizens of heaven, we can become more eco-conscious in a literal sense. But one could also say that as citizens of heaven, we should do everything we can to preserve life in a very general sense. Oh friends, may we be known and become even more known as people who take God's instructions seriously in regards to the preservation of life and looking after this world. And maybe you and I need to take a careful look at our lives and look at how we use the resources we've been given. But that's not all. Salt is also used as a healing agent. When even though it's incredibly painful to do this, but when you place some salt in a wound, it certainly prevents infection and helps with the healing of that wound. But in the context that Jesus was teaching, he wanted to remind his disciples and even us today that we should bring God's message of healing to our world. In a practical sense, just as salt cleans the wounds and helps the torn flesh grow back together again, with the help of God, may we be used to bring healing to this world physically, emotionally, and spiritually as we reconcile the massive divide between us that has caused some deep-rooted wounds. There are other functions of salt in this context, but let's move on to the portion of scripture that could cause some concern for us today. It reads as follows, "But if salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot." It is common knowledge that salt in its purest form by itself cannot lose its saltiness unless it is polluted or mixed with something else. And even more so, to completely destroy the chemical identity of salt, also known as sodium chloride, is impossible. You can modify it. You can separate the atoms, but you cannot create it, and you cannot destroy it. For our scientists, you would know this as the law of thermodynamics. Now, this is incredibly good news for us today, because we have so many conversations with people who are worried that they've lost their saltiness for the Lord. And in so doing, they live in fear that they are no longer good for anything. Oh, friends, if that's you today, you can find hope in this biblical chemistry lesson. It doesn't matter how worthless you feel. Nothing can change your identity in Christ, not even chemistry, because our citizenship in heaven is not determined by our actions, but rather by Christ himself. And so remember this today. You are salt. Not just salt. You are salt that belongs to Jesus Christ, to God's kingdom. And so you are called to be the salt of the earth. That is who you are and what you need to be. Even though your identity cannot be changed by your actions or your words, how you are identified by others can. I'm going to say this again. Even though you cannot change your citizenship in heaven, how others identify you as a citizen of heaven can change. In other words, you'll always be seen by God as the salt of the earth in Christ. But if you allow the vinegars and the sugars and the impurities and the toxins of this world to pollute you and even modify you a little, then it is clear and true that you will become very ineffective in your godly functions in this world. And so the idea is this: as citizens of heaven, as God's salt, we should be in the world, but not of it. And the challenge for us today is this: do we need the Lord to purify us again? Have we become so polluted by some of the things of this world to such an extent that it's hard for others to identify us as the salt of the earth? It's hard for others to identify us as citizens of heaven. And maybe we need to ask ourselves this: am I adding God's flavor to my home, to my workplace and everyday life? Am I preserving this world by doing all that I can to keep this world from rotting completely? Am I making myself available to be used by God to bring his healing to this world physically, emotionally, and spiritually as we try and reconcile the divide between us? Today, ask ourselves this question: do others see me as the salt of the earth? But as we also see in our text, we're not just called to be the salt of the earth, we are also called to be the light of the world. And that's why we are recording this message in our church bell tower today, of which at night can be considered as a lighthouse in Durban North. And some of you might know this. I would love to raise this another 20 meters so that the light that this lighthouse would represent can be seen in all of Durban North and beyond. As most of us would agree, and we live in a very dark world most of the time, where darkness represents all the evil you can think of: murder, rape, abuse, corruption. And the list goes on and on, doesn't it? And these things aren't unique to our generation. They've been around since the very, very beginning. And they were certainly around in Jesus' time when he told his disciples, "You are the light of the world." And so what does this mean for us today? Well, let's look at what the functions of light would be in a modern day context. I think it's very similar to that in Jesus' day, where light helps us to see what's going on around us. And if you're walking or driving on the road, light helps you to see ahead. And in so doing, helps protect you from any possible dangers and even helps you to stay on the right side of the road. But light also exposes what is hidden. Isn't it true that for most of us, as you walk down a dark passage, there's this natural instinct in you that you want to turn on the light? You want to see what's going on and what is possibly hidden around the corner. On a spiritual level, light has a very similar function. Firstly, light helps us to see that we are living in darkness. And it is our prayer that you have seen the light of the world, Jesus, and responded to his call to leave our lifestyles of darkness behind us. And in so doing, agree with John 8, verse 12, that says, "Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Secondly, light also exposes what is hidden in a spiritual sense. And the sad truth is this, that from the very beginning, with Adam and Eve and to this very day, people love to live in darkness more than the light. Because in the darkness, they can hide a multitude of sins and they can even hide their true selves. And the evil one knows this. He knows that in the darkness, fear, sin, deception thrive. And even more so, in the darkness, we cannot see that we're in bondage. And so only when we allow Christ, the light of the world, into that darkness, will our sins, but also our bondage, be exposed. And when it's exposed, only then can we be set free. And so today, if there's a part of your life that you are hiding from the Lord, if there's a part of your life that you've kept in darkness for various reasons, may you be truly honest with yourself. May you become truly honest with the Lord today, knowing that what you're hiding in the darkness is holding you back from experiencing life with God and life in abundance. And so, friends, if you have something hidden from the Lord, allow him into that space today. Allow him to shine his light in that darkness and expose the lie that you and I have believed for so long. The lie that God cannot deal with this. The lie that surely God cannot forgive this. The lie that God cannot set me free from this bondage that's kept me back for so long. Friends, let the light of the world into that space today. For he has overcome the world. And so there is nothing that our God cannot forgive, cannot heal, cannot set free. For he has come to give you life, life in abundance. He has come to set the captives free. He has come to heal the brokenhearted. And even more so, he has come so that you and I can have the light of life with us right now into all eternity. And so today we want you to remember this. That you are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. And with that comes responsibility. To be the salt and to be the light. But maybe for some of us, as we've discussed already, something is holding you back. Allow God into that space, because you and I are called to take His message of hope to the rest of this world. You and I are supposed to shine God's light into this dark world so that they too may experience how amazing it is, how liberating it is to live our lives in the light. Because in the light, we can all see where we are going. In the light, we can help each other avoid the obstacles of life. And in the light, we can even help each other out of the holes we find ourselves in. And so as we conclude today, remember that you are the salt of the earth. And that nothing that you say or do will ever change that. Will ever change your identity that you have in Christ as a citizen of the kingdom of God. But if you've allowed yourself to become polluted by the things of this world, today allow God to shine some light into that and purify you again. In Jesus' name, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we ask that right now, for those who have become very aware that there are parts of their lives that have become polluted by the things of this world. We ask right now, Lord, that you would identify those things to us. Give us the courage and the will to confess them to you. And then come, Lord, as you shine your light into our lives. Come and purify us. Come and heal us so that others will see our good works and indeed give glory to you. They would see us as the salt of the earth and the light of the world because of what you have done in our hearts and in our lives. Help us in this regard. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, church, we pray that you've been blessed this morning and you've been deeply encouraged by the goodness of God and the work of Jesus Christ. And may you go out this week and be salt and light in whatever ways you possibly can find, whichever doors God opens for you to be a witness in your life and through your life. Now let's stand, won't you, with me as we share the benediction. So now may God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who called us is faithful.
My lighthouse, shining in the darkness, I will follow you, oh. My lighthouse, I will trust the promise, you will carry me safe to shore.